Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, I'm Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O in the original Thundercats series, and you're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello, ho, ho. And welcome to Trekmate. My name's Jude Hawkins.
My name's Wayne Emery. Yes, Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yes, we've got a very Christmassy episode ahead. It's our Christmas special, you could say.
Yes, well, we was going to get another episode out more recently with episode three of Strange New Worlds. But
it's coming.
In the last, 10 days or so, Jude and I both came down with, I had a chest infection,
and Jude would think next door neighbors or something, wouldn't they? We're miles and miles away from each other. It's just typical that we would get seriously ill at the same time. But well, it's good timing in a way. Get it out of the way before Christmas, and you know, we were both eager to pod a week and a half ago.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I had it all lined up, and I said to Stu, I'm really sorry. I've got to take Amy to go and see an out-of-hours doctor. Because she was really rough. And God, I won't go into all of the ins and outs of that, because it was just an absolute shit show trying to get her to see a doctor over that weekend. But, she came down with it first, and then so I couldn't record that night, and then within 24-30 hours of getting her sorted, I felt like absolute crap, and that was it just set everything off, and I was off all last week from work with it, and now back at work, but I've just been left with a stupid cough that's just doing my head in, but feeling loads better. And by the sounds of it, you was exactly the same, mate.
Yeah, I wasn't far behind you, to be honest. At first I was like, oh, poor Wayne and his family, and then 24 hours later, just like, oh my god, I'm freezing, I'm shivering, can't stop coughing. But I think we're both recovering slowly now, in time for Christmas itself, which is good.
No, exactly. Well, last week, there would have been no chance, even if I wanted to record, just my voice, my voice was just so buggered. It was breaking all the time. It was just...
when you're talking, it just makes you go into a coughing fit.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it just would have not been possible whatsoever. So, I do apologise that we ended up taking a break. I did put a post on Facebook.
I actually saw it. I just happened to go on Facebook that day. I've been dipping my toe in more and more just lately. I just happened to go on just as you'd posted it the other day.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm sorry, guys. But that's the thing. Just thought I'd keep people up to date. And we won't have an episode next week because it's New Year's, and we're going to be doing all things with family, and Jude's going up to see his family whatnot. But then we'll record again the week after, just after New Year's.
As we both can. I look forward to that, to getting back on track with the Strange New World stuff. But Yeah, in this last week and a half, even though we've been really ill, I'd sent you a text just saying, like, I'm eager to do a Christmas episode as soon as we mm-hmm. can. I just want to do one Christmas episode. I just like it. I love it.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to try and get this episode out as quickly as possible. So depending on, and I'm still working all this week up until Friday. So depending on how much time I have, this episode might end up just going out raw and unedited.
I was
going
to say that to you off air, but yeah, I'll just say it now. Let's try and behave ourselves. I think we should be all right.
We should be absolutely fine, because then I've been trying to be really good with editing all of the shows lately, but I'm just thinking I want to get this out early enough.
You have done a really good job.
I want to get this out early enough for people to...
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, if I was just a listener, it'd be nice to get it, like, either before Christmas Day or as close to Christmas Day on the other side as possible, you know, to...
Yeah.
You know, you're watching or listening to a Christmas special, you want it to be as close to Christmas as possible, but...
Exactly.
If you can't, don't worry about it. People will still be happy for it any time.
Well, no, I'm just thinking I might just pump it out without hardly any editing on it.
We were doing it for years there, where we were just behaving ourselves and just accepting the fact that people are listening to us mess up a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm. So this episode might not be as polished, but I'm going to try and do my best to self-edit as I talk to try and minimise the amount of gaffes that you might have had to endure if I was editing. So I do apologise if this is a rough episode editing-wise.
I'm sure everyone will be happy with it. Like, if they're not that happy, they can just skip to the next one now. If you just want us to talk about reviewing Strange New Worlds of nice editing.
Oh, that apology was only for Matt. That was only for Matt. No one else.
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, thanks for letting us know, Matt, that you are okay and you weren't eaten by a shark. I forgot to say that. Like, since I heard him ring in to let us know.
Jude was quite relieved.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh, dear. I do love Matt. We need to get him back on at some point soon.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Does it talk about anything and everything, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's been too
Absolutely.
Long.
Absolutely. It's been far, far too long. I was still texting him, like, regularly, so I'm always in contact with him.
Yeah, so He actually, let's use Matt to talk about our first Christmassy subject tonight. It was Matt who sent me, no, Matt sent me something else. There's two Star Trek YouTube channels that I've been enjoying this month. Hmm. The first was sent by Matt, and the second one was posted on Facebook by you.
Mm-hmm.
Matt had sent me one where I've no idea what it's called, but it's mostly Next Generation, and it's like mixed with like 80s, 90s computer games. I don't know if I presume he shared the same thing with you.
Oh, the
Wesley Crusher playing Sonic the Hedgehog, and like, yes, you know, it's to save the ship or whatever. And
yeah,
really well done by whoever did that. That was the first one I saw and ended up being my favorite, but there was a bunch of other ones.
Yeah,
Tetris and all sorts.
It was good.
But the one that really made it for me this month is the one that you must have discovered somehow, which seems to be a pretty fresh channel on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It was some guy's name. I'm guessing you can tell us. In fact, I was going to say, if you could do one bit of editing, could you put one of the songs in at the end of the episode, like instead of
Rick Moyer? Yeah, no, I can do that. I can do that.
Whoever this YouTuber is, like, they've done a bunch of Christmas songs using Star Trek, 90s Star Trek, from what I've seen. I've seen a couple of TNGs. One with Q, where it's TNG and DS9. A one purely DS9 one. but it's really entertaining and really something that I'm always searching for and hoping for every year, like a nice mix of Star Trek and Christmas, which you don't always get what you want with that.
No. Well, funnily enough, this channel, if anyone wants to search for it, his name is John C. Worsley. But you can just search for it using, because now YouTube's got like the at system on there. So it's at JCWORSLEY.
And they've done a very good job.
Because last year he uploaded
some of the titles.
I have. He's not done it like every single like they're not all brand new this year. He's only put one new one up this year, and the rest has been like over the years by the looks of it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, because the one that he's just put up is Santa When the Claws Fell.
Yes.
Which is a mix of Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra. And that was really good. But like You're a Mean One, Mr. Spock, was 11 months ago. And then All I Want for Christmas was 1 year ago. And then like three years ago, he's done. Yes.
That was, I really enjoyed that one.
But he's done a bunch like over the years.
Wonderful Christmas Time is like Wonderful Deep Space Nine or something. Can't even think of that song. It is.
It is really, really good.
Yeah, I can't believe I've not seen that before then, if that's not new. I'm sure like there's lots of listeners like saying, Jude, we've known about that for years, but it's the first I've seen of it and really enjoyed it.
Do
me a favor
good.
And stick that one on as the outro. Wonderful Deep Space Nine.
A Wonderful Deep Space Nine.
Or All I Want for Christmas is Q, either.
Okay, then. One of those two will be at the end. I'll tell you what, with Christmas episodes, we always do end up splicing in a couple of songs throughout the show.
Yeah, so you could stick both in.
We could stick one in right now.
Right.
The spirits of we're here
tonight.
And that's enough. Simply
commanding
one
Deep Space Nine.
Simply commanding
Wonderful Deep Space Nine.
The party is on.
The feelings here that only comes
for this time of year.
Simply
scanning.
One Deep Space Nine.
Simply
planning.
Complete takeover of Deep Space Nine.
Alamo Rain, come to port. Alamo Rain, come to report.
Alamo Rain, increase. Alamo Rain, you'll come with me.
The mood is bright. The spirit's up.
We hear light.
Ah! I said, that's enough!
We're simply
mending
Wonderful
Deep Space Nine.
Simply defending Honorable Deep Space Nine.
Simply
mending
Wonderful Deep Space Nine.
Odo.
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 Odo. Deep Space Nine.
And you would have just found out which one it was.
Yeah. We're left in the dark.
We're left in the dark.
But it was good, no, though, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I tell you what, I, in that one, I would have put The Wonderful Deep Space Nine.
Okay, cool.
And then build it up through the episode because, yeah, no, but everyone, make sure that you do go and check out his channel because I've just gone and ripped his music without asking. So go and check him out and give him some views.
I think they'll be happy for that.
Absolutely. I think he'd be more than happy with that. So that's at JC Worsley. So
yeah, I just
big up to him.
Most of the stuff we were going to talk about tonight, I just wanted to be as Christmassy and Star Trek-y as possible. I've got a few Back to the Future things to talk about, but DS9, I've got a few things. I've just written a little list. Do you want to talk about DS9 or do you want to talk about the Borg Cube calendar?
Okay, let's start with the Borg Cube calendar.
Then. Yeah, so last year we were talking about that on here, I'm pretty sure.
We were, because we did discuss how, because Simon over at the Engage podcast, he had bought it before going to DST.
So I've got a question. Can you remember how much he actually paid for it? Because I know it was a lot.
Because he was fucked off last year.
Was
that
it?
Because he bought it full price when it first came out, and I think that was like about
200 quid or something.
I have a feeling it was like at least 150.
Wow.
I have a feeling it was like at least 150, and he paid that then. And then by come December, he was pissed off that it had been reduced down to about 95.
Last December.
Yeah, last December reduced.
That's a big difference.
Because he had bought that before we went to DST because he was pointing it out going like, oh, I don't want to look at it too much.
Yeah.
Because I've got it. And then, yeah, no, then it went right down. But I saw exactly what you're about to discuss.
Well, yes, this year I'd noticed that it had dropped massively in price to about 50, 60. I think one place was even selling it for 40, but then you had to pay a bit of extra postage. So I was very tempted by it. I was like, oh, I was looking at this last year. I was really interested. And I'd mentioned it to Sarah and said, you know, this could be something you could get me. Like, I would really appreciate it this year, but I'll use it next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, hang on a minute, no, hang on, let me look at it. So I don't know about you, but I actually looked it up and I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to spoil it for myself. What actually is inside? Because I'd asked Simon last year to like post it to us or post it on his Facebook or something, but I just wasn't
online. He did every single day last year,
he put up
a picture of what came in each day.
Oh, well done him. Sorry, mate. I didn't actually check it. But I've got to be honest here. I'm just going to be brutally honest. Like it's by Eagle Moss.
Mm-hmm.
So you would just naturally assume that there was like at least three or four ships in there.
That's what you would assume. That's what you would assume because that's what they do.
There isn't. There really isn't. And I don't understand that. The box, I think the box looks fantastic. Looks really great presentation on the outside. And it really makes you wonder like, oh, what goodies are going to be in here? But as I say, I thought I'll just spoil it for myself. Like I want to see, is it worth it? Because if I don't get my wife to buy it for me, I'll just buy it for myself.
And the thing is, you wouldn't even need to use it at Christmas. I like I did with my Playmobil thing. The first Playmobil calendar, I just got that as a birthday gift and opened it middle of the year. I weren't waiting for that. I've been much more well behaved this year. I've actually used it as an advent calendar. So,
oh, I've been loving the Back to the Future free calendar this year.
It's been so good.
That one is proper good value for money.
It's amazing value.
So I'm guessing people listening can guess where I'm going now. Where mm-hmm. when I looked at all the content, have you looked at the content, or did you see it when Simon posted it?
I've literally just gone on to the Engage Podcast Facebook page to see what it came with.
Put it this way: if I was Simon, I would have been very pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
I love Star Trek, but the contents of that box, the contents of that advent calendar, they don't even equate to £60. Never mind £100+.
Mm-hmm.
I think you
don't get me wrong. There was one or two items in there that I did think like that's quite nice. Like
I do like the things in there, but maybe 40, 45 at a stretch. I think I'd be like, okay, I think I could do that.
Yeah, but when I say one or two items, I don't mean every single thing. And as you said, it's certainly not something that I would be willing to pay a lot of money for.
No. When you see the items, yeah, it's a bit sad, really. Like
they're all tiny. You've got a lot of pin badges. So if you're into your pin badges, then, yeah, you get a few of those. But I liked the coasters that came with it.
I do like them, yeah. I'm a coaster fan, as sad as that sounds.
Yeah. No, exactly. But then the rest of it was just like a lot of knickknacks. A lot of knickknacks that just...
More like if you'd bought like Star Trek crackers or something. Christmas crackers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, as you said, not a ship in sight.
No, I think that's criminal, really, with it being Eagle Moss. Like, put a couple in there. Just put one in there, mm-hmm. at least. Very odd.
And that's the thing. I would have been fucked off if I was him as well, to have paid £150 for
I'd be very the calendar interested that he to hear got. What he's got to say next time we speak to him about that on one of our shows.
We'll have to remember to bring it up with him to ask him about it. Because I did see that there was another advent calendar out this year that was like building an Enterprise D model.
Where
each day you got like a different piece of the ship and like you build it as you go.
Yeah, I looked that up as well.
And that does look cool. I did like I'm trying to remember how big it ended up being. I don't think it ended up being like a ginormous.
It wasn't massive. Ship. No, I feel like I don't know, just like a 9-10 inches or something. Like I think I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't an amazing size.
Maybe less actually.
I can't maybe remember even how much that was.
I want to say £40 or something like that.
No, mate, you're far off. It was £80.
Whew.
Yeah, so that's why me and you were out for the running on that one. But yeah, no, so and like it came like each day you would have a different part to build. Like I think the first couple of days you just build the base. Like the Star Trek insignia base. I definitely like the
concept, yeah. I mean, if that one drops next year, and then that's suddenly like 40, like maybe I'll go for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but looking at the actual picture, I'm just trying to see how big it says it is, because it comes in 24 pieces, obviously.
Yeah.
Product dimensions, so 22 centimeters long.
Yeah.
So not quite 30 centimeters.
No.
So it's a medium sized ship, like nowhere near as big as your like ones that we used to get with Playmates or things mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, no, that's the thing. If that was about £40, I'd be much more willing to do that, but not for 80.
I'll bring up a few other toy things while we're talking about it, if you're up for it.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't have any links for you or anything like that, but I don't know if you've seen a a Star Trek Playmobil bird of prey, like they've produced videos for it and stuff, which I quite enjoyed watching.
They are fun. They are fun. Playmobil are not. Obviously, we've said before previously about the Star Trek sets that they're just way overpriced. But the actual quality of the product and the advert for this one, they're just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And whatever price that was, again, with that, I was like, oh, a bit too much for me right now. But if I see it reduced in the future, I would be tempted by that.
Yeah, the Bird of Prey, I think, was 260 quid.
260 quid? Bloody hell. I didn't think it was that much.
Yeah, no.
Okay, it would have to be reduced a lot.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, the ships certainly have...
What is it with Playmobil and Star Trek? They're all right with Back to the Future, but Star Trek, it's like, you got to pay this ridiculous price.
The ships are a lot bigger, but the thing is, I was going to say, well, the ships are a lot bigger, but the Ghostbusters Playmobil stuff, like the bigger sets, aren't anywhere near that price compared to what the Star Trek ones are. But I'm just trying to see if there is a size on for the... Okay. Approximately... the Bird of Prey is approximately 58 centimeters by 73 centimeters by 33 centimeters. So it is a substantial size. Like with the wingspan, that's like 3/4 of a meter. That's a pretty big bloody model.
You're right. You are right. But that's still a lot.
It's a lot of money. It is a hell of a lot of money. But it is ultra cool. And comes with, because it was from the Voyage Home and the Search for Spock, Bird of Prey.
I'm so sending it really you a WhatsApp is. Of a toy where I think it is way better value. It's just a picture, but I'm sure you could look it up. This is a picture from Amazon.
Oh.
It's 20% off at the moment, so it's 70 quid.
That has caught my attention big time.
Yeah.
Oh, and it comes with... okay, well, reveal it for everybody, Jude.
So, it is a three-part model, I guess you'd call it. I'm not sure what the company is. It says AMI.
AMT.
AMT.
AMT. Yeah, they make... they've made shit tons of Star Trek models throughout the decades. Like I had some of the Star Trek like figure models of like the characters that I made.
Oh, okay. Maybe I have as well.
As a teenager.
And then I've got rid of them. But this is new. It's Deep Space Nine, and it looks great. It looks really good. But you'd think I'm not sure of the size. I'm sure Wayne will probably be finding that out as we speak.
I am looking it up now.
But the very cool thing about it is for 70 quid, you don't just get Deep Space Nine. You get the Defiant and you get a Cardassian, what is it? Cardassian class cruiser.
Yeah.
And they look great. In the pictures that I've got, look very cool.
You've missed the discount. At the moment, it's back to £109 at the moment.
Oh, I've on the picture I sent you, it was recommended retail price £89, and then
I tell you
down.
What it is then, because I'm on Amazon. If that's happened, that's because Amazon themselves have ran out of their own stock.
Yeah, quite possibly.
So in that case,
give it some time.
Yeah, so it should come back in at that price because this isn't included in Prime, so that's going to be from a different seller. That's why it's at that price.
But yeah, I just kind of stumbled on that and just thought that was very cool. If I'd seen that months and months ago, that might have gone on the list.
Yeah, well, it reckons... I'm just trying to see... That's... the dimensions of the box. I don't want the dimensions of the box. aren't the dimensions of finished build. I'd ask Google that.
Oh, just while I'm sending you pictures, I'm going to send you a picture of this.
Oh, not your dick.
No, not this time.
Fine. Dimensions.
I can't remember if this is Amazon or what, but I saw a really cool Star Trek Christmas jumper, which often you'll just see the same ones again and again. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen this one before.
Okay, so the Deep Space Nine. Wait, no, that's not the same one. That's one from the 90s.
Sorry, I should have done more research, shouldn't I?
No, not at all. I can't figure it out.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. But saying that, I still have in my pile of shame of things to do, I've even got it to bloody reach. I've got a Voyager to build.
Oh, wow. Just yeah. The box is impressive, that.
Yeah. I bought this fucking years ago, and I just haven't got round to it. It's in my pile of shame of things that I need to sort out, because I've got all of the stickers ready to go and everything. And I kept telling myself, I'll build it once I've got the paints. But I think I just need to fucking get on with it and actually build it.
Yeah, you need the time first of all, but then once you've got, wow, that looks very cool.
And that looks like that's going to be pretty bloody big with how big that saucer section is.
Yeah.
So,
make sure you're ready when you're ready to do it, because it's going to take some dedication there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Do you know what I think?
What's the make of that one, so people know what we're talking about?
This is Revel. This is the Revel Star Trek Voyager. It reckons it will end up being 51.4 centimeters long. So,
wow, yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And I've been putting this off for so long. I think I will try and give it a go. I need to get myself some glue, though. I need to get some decent model making glue to get that. Oh, I haven't looked at your dick pic yet. That's really nice.
It is really nice. Yeah, if I'd seen that like a month and a half ago, I might have got that. It's a Star Trek Christmas jumper, and it has Trek the Halls written at the top. It's
a really nice design, actually.
Yeah, it's the sort of Christmas jumper I love. Like, loads of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a TOS design with the original Enterprise in the middle, with the command insignia above it, with a couple of phasers and some Live Long and Prosper's going
snowflakes,
around.
Snowflakes, reindeers.
Yeah.
Christmas trees.
All the good stuff. And that's, I tell you what, I love all of these, like, really, they call them ugly, but I don't think they're ugly.
Yeah, I see that. Oh, yeah, it's actually on the thing, isn't it? Ugly knitted Christmas. No, it's not ugly.
No.
Awesome is what it is, and I really mean that.
You've got some great Christmas jumpers. But
I do.
I just haven't actually got any for myself whatsoever. I was close to getting the turtles one
this year, but both the turtles one and this one are excellent, and I will be getting at least one before next December. I'm sure of it.
Oh, I can't blame you, because they look absolutely stunning. And that's I've always been eyeing up. There's Ghostbusters ones that I love, Back to the Future ones that I love.
Oh,
there's,
I have an awesome Back to the Future one.
Yeah, and there's a Sonic the Hedgehog one that I absolutely adored, and there's Xbox ones that I like. So there's such a variety of Christmas jumpers now.
If you're a fan of them, there's a few good Stranger Things ones this year, like in the game shops here in the UK.
Yeah,
they have like I think they've just got like three Stranger Things jumpers, and I've not seen anything else in there.
nice.
That seems to be all they're selling, but they're very well done.
Well, to be honest, our game shop now is being closed down, and they're just stuck in the entranceway of our sport and soccer in town.
Sport and soccer? What, is that like Sports Direct?
That's what I meant, Sports Direct, not Sport and soccer.
That's happened in quite Sports a few Direct. Towns, actually.
Well, it happened in Watford ages ago, where they had moved their game into that, and I was like, that's so sad. And now, literally, the game in Hemel Hempstead was outside of the main shopping centre, but now it's been stuck into, not even inside the Sports Direct, but literally in the entranceway of the Sports Direct.
Yeah, it is a bit sad.
That's the thing, when they were going in there, I said to the guy that works there, I was like, this is quite sad. Like, it's like a real fall from grace.
Yeah.
The game. And he's like, no, it's not that bad. It just means, I was just like, don't try and spin this one.
Yeah.
It's shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a shame. But I get it, because, you know, years ago, myself, I'd say like, oh, why do I want to get games digitally, you know? But now I do because I'm just lazy, because I'm like, I love this game enough not to want to resell it, so if I can get it on sale on digital, like, I will, and I do.
And
that's it, that's all it takes for thousands of people to want to do that, and that's how these shops go out of business.
I've bought probably about 95% of my games digitally for the last probably 7 years.
Yeah, it's just so tempting. Like, if you know that a game's good and you're going to want to keep playing it, and you don't have to get up and go into the other room or something to go and grab
the game. You don't have to put the disc in, exactly. Exactly, and it's so much more convenient. So when it comes to like actual like video game stuff from game, the only things that I've really bought from them is hardware. So it's like the actual console or a control or an accessory. Yeah. And half of the time, it's not even that. It's been fucking Star Trek rubber ducks.
Yeah, Teddy. Yeah, the last thing I bought from them was a... I tell a lie. The second to last thing I bought from them was a Back to the Future Switch case, I was going to say. But no, the last thing I got was actually the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga collection. And I kid you not, the next day I was like, I should have just got it on digital. Why did I bother getting the actual game? Like, I regretted it.
Because you're not going to
instantly
trade it in.
No, yeah. I'm not. Like, obviously, I never will. I love the bloody franchise and have for decades. Like, I should have just got the digital version on that occasion. But
yeah, hey. And then what's reaffirmed that for me is just been Game Pass, because...
Oh, God, that's good. Yeah, I don't play Xbox at the moment, but it's so good.
It's so good. And the Turtles Shredder's Revenge was on Game Pass day one. So it's like, so I played through that entirely. So Game Pass means I'm not buying hardly any physical things.
It is a bargain. They are whipping PlayStation's butt with that. I've currently got whatever PlayStation's equivalent is.
PlayStation
and I'm enjoying
Plus.
It. Yeah, Plus. Yeah. It's good, but it's nowhere near as good.
No, it's just amazing value in gaming. And it's meant that it's introduced me to games that I never would have tried.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
And games that I've absolutely adored. Like, earlier in the year, one of my favourite games this year was a game called Tunic, which is a game that's very... gameplay-wise, you can compare it directly to, like, Zelda. So, and it was really good, but you're playing this little fox that goes around. Right. You play a little fox and you have no clue what's going on at first. And to find out how to do things in the game, you go around collecting pages of the game's instruction manual.
Oh, right.
And all of it's written in this foreign language, but you figure out the clues of where to go. And the game seems all light and fluffy and really fun, and it is, but then there's some really dark undertones underneath the game as you get further in. And that was an amazing game. And also another game that just came out last week, I think it was, on Game Pass, which I've been playing loads, was a game by the... Well, not by, but he co-created the game. I'm trying to remember his name. One of the main writers and creators of Rick and Morty. A game called High on Life. And that is a first-person action-adventure shooter game where you play a guy, well, a kid who's the planet is getting taken over by aliens who are basically abducting humans to smoke them, to get high.
Oh. What's it called?
High on Life.
Oh, okay.
And the humour's really, really funny on it. If you like Rick and Morty, it's that sort of humour.
I just watched the 5 latest episodes of season 6 the other day, and there's a very dark stuff that goes on in the writing, but I think they are some of the smartest writers in the world, those two guys, and whoever's helping them produce that programme.
There is some dark stuff that goes on in the game as well. And it's
I will look it up, yeah.
It's been so funny and it's so good. And I don't think I'm that far away from completing it. It's the sort of game that apparently you're averaging somewhere between like 8 and 10 hours.
That's okay. And I mean, I enjoy those types of games. Yeah. I played a game which I think you revealed to me is maybe... Sony exclusive recently, which was the same, only a few hours.
Stray,
really, really good. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really want to play that. I've been hearing that's like about a 5-hour sort of game.
It depends how good you are or how many the extras. You know, you want to get every little bit of juicy goodness out of it. It's up to you. But yeah, somewhere between 4 to 8 hours, I would say.
Yeah, and that is one game that I really do want to play.
Very good.
I wish I'd played it before getting rid of my PS4, but I think it's on PC now. I think it's on PC.
I'm sure it'll get its way around to the other things.
But
that don't know what we're talking about, Stray is you are a cat, and you're living in a world where... You know, this is not a spoiler, really, I don't think. You're living in a world where there's no humans, but instead, obviously, there's still cats, but what does remain is companion robots, they were called, where they were supposed to be companions for the humans, and they love humans, but they're all what's left, and they've completely, what's the word? You know, adopted all the mannerisms and personalities and characteristics of humans. And I'll say for you, Wayne, there's some really funny Back to the Future references in there, but I won't tell you what they are. Just that they're there.
Oh, okay. No, I look forward to that.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. The first bit where I saw some stuff, I was just like, oh, is that on purpose? And then I got another hour in, I was like, yeah, that's definitely on purpose. There's a hell of a lot of stuff in there once you get to a certain point.
Oh, no, cool. No, I do look forward to playing that. But also, your laptop's not that bad. You've got a pretty good laptop now.
Yeah.
What I would say is, at some point, it might just be worth doing a £1 for a month trial on Game Pass Ultimate to play on your laptop, because so many of the games
are playable
on PC, and also the ones that aren't always playable on PC but are console only, you can actually stream through the web.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because my mate Luke, I just picked him up a month's trial on it because he's been wanting to play a lot of Game Pass games. And then I was just sitting there thinking, fuck, I should just get him like an ultimate for like £1, like to like try that out on PC because so many of the games are available on there, and there's always like you can cancel it after a month if it's not working out very well. But yeah, those were it's a great way of playing some of those Game Pass games without having an Xbox.
Yeah, that is cool. I wasn't really aware of that. I'm quite tempted to go on a Back to the Future detour here, if you're all right with that.
Well, you had promised a while back that at some point you would tell everybody about
your excursions
into Hill Valley.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that in a second. I'll just show you this. I've got a Back to the Future Christmas decoration.
Don't know if you can see it on your camera. Yeah, so what Julie's showing me is a snow globe where the bottom of it is designed like the time circuits. And then inside the snow globe is the DeLorean hovering. And I'm just trying to see. It's the clock tower.
I think it's like you're just supposed to use your imagination that the DeLorean is in the foreground and the clock tower is in the background, sort of thing.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Yeah, that is amazing.
We picked that up at the convention we went to a while back. The Full of Love of Sci-Fi off at one of the traders there. £25, like it was a lot, but I was like, sod it. I've never seen this before. I've seen it about 3 times since, but I've seen it since, it's been £30.
Oh, okay.
So I was quite happy with that. You know, like I say, you have to use your imagination.
I've never actually seen that before.
Yeah, I think it's a new product. It comes in a nice little box where it's all safe and sound in polystyrene and stuff in there. I've seen a few new Back to the Future coasters, which I was tempted to get that weekend, and I've seen in a few shops since. But yeah, I really like it. I was glad that I got it, to be honest.
Excellent. Well, it's not readily available on Amazon.
Is it not? So, it might just be because everything's so crazy. It might have just sold out. Yeah. But I've seen it in a bunch of geeky shops since, and every time I've seen it, it's been 30. So for 25, no, don't feel like it was that bad now.
Well, no, the thing is like sometimes some of these things, like they are a hefty price, but then when you compare it, it's like it's just what it's worth. It's just what it goes for.
Yeah, I mean, what are you paying for a snow globe anyway? Like a decent, heavy, you know, ceramic at the bottom, glass on the top. You know, not like a plastic thing. Like you're going to be paying like £15 or something anyway for just your average one, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So to have one like that, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
No, that is nice. That is very, very nice.
I'll show them to you another time, but Sarah also got me, because we get each other gifts in the build up to Christmas now. It was a tradition I started for Sarah, and now she's doing it for me, where we get each other like tiny gifts where we pick numbers out of a hat, for the build up to, like an advent calendar. On one of mine, she got me a couple of Back to the Future decorations, and they're like plastic, but like they're laser cut. So I got like a DeLorean one, and then a Welcome to Hill Valley one. They look really good, but I'm too lazy to track them down and show them to you right now. I'll do it another time or send you a picture or something. But
yeah,
they're very, very good.
Nice. Very nice. I look forward to seeing that.
Do you know what? I'll tell you a little story while I'm here, and then I can do my pilgrimage story as well if you want.
Okay.
The listeners of this show know that I went to the For Love of Sci-Fi thing and met a bunch of the actors with Cisco. I told you that he was looking forward to meeting Mr. Strickland, James Tolkien.
Yes.
The most. And he was happy that he met him. But we met him twice that day. we did a group photo with all the actors what were there.
Mm-hmm.
But for reasons which you and everyone can guess, like, we decided to go and get his autograph. He's 92, yeah. You know, let's put it yes. that way. That's why. You know, and I didn't bother with the other guys that day because I know I'll see them again. But yeah, Cisco got his photo signed, and you know, he was really nice for a second time. And he James Tolkien reached his hand out to shake Cisco's hand, which he did.
Yeah.
But then Cisco immediately, you know, because he's having that contact, like, he wanted and preferred the idea of having a high five.
Yeah.
So he stuck his hand up to give James Tolkien a high five. So James yeah. Tolkien stuck his hand up.
Yeah.
And then Cisco fucking whacked his hand.
Oh!
So hard, you know, like he would do to me.
Yeah.
Like, and if he was doing it to me, I would still go like, whoa, calm down, buddy. Something like that. Like, thank you, but chill out or something.
Yeah.
But he's doing it to a 92-year-old man. And, like, it was all sort of nice and pleasant. But, you know, yeah. like, me and Sarah both said to him, as we were like, oh, thanks. It was really, really nice to meet you. But, like, as we're walking away, we're both going, fucking hell. Do you think he's all right? He's all right after that. Like, was that?
Well, he was sick the next day.
And then I said, yeah, I said to Sarah as we're walking away, I said, like, I don't want to be going on the internet tomorrow and reading that this guy has been hospitalized. Like, after, you know, because all I'm going to be able to do is, like, go, like, oh, was that Cisco? Because he broke his hand.
And lo and behold,
yeah, literally, like, the next day, like, I went on to Facebook to see, like, have they posted these photos, can I look at the digital version of these photos, which you could, but yeah, like, all the people that were attending the convention on Sunday, because we'd gone on the Saturday, were just like, oh, it's really sad not to see James Tolkien today, I'm really sad to hear that he's in hospital. And I was like, oh shit.
He broke his fucking wrist.
Yeah, so for the next like 48 hours or so, I just constantly kept going on the convention's web page, you know, on their Facebook, like, please say he's just got a cold or something like that.
Yeah. Oh dude.
They never really said they what never... it was. He was still in hospital okay. like 2 days later, and they said, oh, he's recovering okay. But I was just like, oh my God, please say that isn't what actually happened. But that was a story I was sitting on for you.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is crazy. No wonder you knew when I messaged you, I was like, oh, you was lucky that you got to see James because he was sick the next day. Just like, oh, fucking no.
It's crazy, isn't it? Well, I'm yeah. just glad it wasn't something worse. Let's put it that way. I won't say.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it wouldn't have been anything to do with that. It's just in your head. That's what yeah. you worry about.
I'm guessing it was just general sort of exhaustion or whatever. It can't be easy at 92 flying all that distance all the way over here and then spending the whole day shaking hands, posing, pointing at people and whatnot. But yeah,
I think you would have been able to take full responsibility if it was like he's broke his wrist.
Yeah.
then you could have taken full responsibility. And,
I'd
like,
just be hiding in a corner if I'd read that. Like, oh shit. Yeah, maybe someone else like gave him even harder high five.
I don't think we would even be discussing it on the podcast.
No, I don't think so. No.
Oh, dude, that's absolutely crazy. But I'm glad that you got that experience because the photo that you've got with the whole family and the cast is really, really a nice one.
Yeah, and I don't know if I said it on the pod, but I was very lucky because I think some of the staff were a bit confused on the day, and they ended up, long story short, they ended up getting his two photos instead of one. So we had from Sisko and James Tolkien, at least. Everyone else looks the same, but like they did two slightly different poses, and we got the two physical photos at the end. So I was very happy with that.
Excellent. No, I am glad that you got that. And I'm glad for you that you got that autograph, because as you said, you never know when if he's going to ever come back again.
I hope he does, for everyone, for his sake and all the fans. But yeah, you just don't know.
You never know. I hope so I can grab his autograph as well, but
yeah,
we just have to wait and see on that one. So I tell you what, before we jump into your story, how about we splice in another little Christmas jingle?
Go for it, yeah.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing that I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want to boldly go. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is...
Log. It's almost Christmas, and there is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I don't want to hang my stocking there above
the fireplace.
Number one won't make me happy with the toy on the Christmas day. I just want to make it so more than you could. Never know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is cute, baby.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. As an expert in humanity, here is where I want to be. I don't want to box with Sisko. Far away, on Deep Space Nine. I won't even rescue Janeway. Voyager will be just fine. I just want...
Well, Capitan, Q, Captain Q to you, young man, make my wish come true.
All I want for Christmas
is Jean-Luc.
Is a fever longing still for that which longer nurseth the disease? I do not love thee with mine eyes, for they in thee a thousand errors see. But 'tis my heart that loves what they despise, who, in despite of view, are pleased to dote. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Captain's log supplemental. There is still one thing I need. I don't care about the present underneath the Christmas tree. I just want to make it so more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is
cure.
All I want for Christmas. It's,
I protest, I am not a merry man.
All I want for Christmas is
you.
All I want for Christmas is
you.
Until next time.
What is a Q?
It's a letter of the alphabet, as far as I know.
What did you want to do now? Did you, like, I've actually got Wayne a present, which I'm sure I probably mentioned several times on the pod.
Yes. No, I and I'm going to on air apologize as well that I haven't got you a present.
Don't
this
worry
year,
about
mate.
It, so, mate. You said that off air, and honestly, it's fine. Like, my present, honestly, is seeing you open the present that I put a lot of work into.
Okay. That makes me feel even worse. You
no,
put so
no,
much
don't,
into
don't,
it.
Honestly. The funny thing is, the present that you're going to open today, it's a collection of smaller presents which make a bigger present. But it technically cost me next to nothing. Or you could even say it was sort of free, but at the same time you could say it's priceless. Like, it's all priceless.
Okay.
So Wayne is opening the envelope.
I'm very intrigued because that's this is near on impossible to just guess what it is. Because
yeah, I have said to you a couple of times, like, no one in the world is opening up the present that you're opening today.
I was just seeing if I had scissors, but I don't, so I'm going to have to use teeth.
I don't think you need scissors. You could just use your fingers if you don't want to wreck your teeth.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay, so I've made an entry point.
So there's a box in there. Don't open up the box straight away. Just look at the stuff that's not in the box first, so then we can talk about each bit by bit.
Okay. I'm opening the bag without looking. Okay, so shall I empty all of the contents?
Just, yeah, careful that the box doesn't open itself. Just leave the box, like, closed.
Okay, the box has remained closed.
And just,
I thought it felt like straws.
Just for the record, I know that the box has, like, love hearts on it. I think I covered up, like, one of them, and then the rest of them, I just couldn't be bothered, and I thought he'll probably like that anyway.
Yeah. That's the so Duke has gave me a Burger King crown.
Yeah.
From his trip to the States.
You're presuming so that.
I am presuming that.
Yeah.
So thank you. And a couple of straws.
Yeah.
A couple of Burger King plastic straws.
So I'm sure you can guess by now where that crown and those straws are from.
I assume Burger King. The Burger King.
It's the fucking Burger King.
The fucking Burger King from Back to the Future. That
yes.
Marty. How amazing is that?
So when Marty comes out of Doc's garage and then he realizes he's late for school and he grabs onto the back of a Jeep type 4x4 vehicle thing. That Burger King that is there in that movie is still there today and looks almost exactly the same. I went in there, had a jolly nice breakfast, and I got you a crown and I got you a couple of straws.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Never would have guessed it. And feeling it, I was like, it feels like a couple of straws in there. But
I didn't want to say anything. But
no,
before you open that box,
straws from the Burger King. Yeah.
Before you open the box, I'll just say that before I went on holiday, I had that idea of, like, I'm going to pick up as much stuff from that Burger King as I possibly can for myself, Cisco, and Wayne.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a certain point later on that I realized I could do more than that. And that's I'll let you open the
box.
That
is what's okay. I'm opening the box. Oh, it's okay. I'm not going to read the lid just yet because you've actually put a explanation of what's on there. I'm just taking out some tissue paper.
The tissue paper is from Burger King also.
The tissue paper is also from Burger King.
Yeah, the napkins from Burger King.
Amazing. And, oh, wow, you've like, crystallized them in plastic.
It's resin, yeah.
So resin.
So Sarah already had some clear resin in the house that she can make jewelry out of and put flowers in or whatever you want. But when I knew that she had the ability to do that, I was like, we've got to put some stuff, some Back to the Future. So I've done it for myself and Cisco, and I've done it for you as well.
How and amazing
I've,
is that?
I've labelled so, them for you there.
Yeah, and Jude has traced them so that I know which one is from which one. And I have on in my hand right now, I have a stone from Hill Valley High School.
Yeah. That was that the last thing that we visited on the holiday, Back to the Future related. Like, we weren't originally going to do it, but it was Sarah.
Wow, this
who,
is such a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, such a cool idea. And then this one, this circular one, is a piece of pine cone from the Emmett Brown Mansion.
Yes, I had a whole pine cone and I was going to bring it home. And then I looked up on all the custom stuff and it's like, I realized, oh, okay, if you've got a pine cone in your suitcase, they will stop you and they will take it off you. So I thought,
yeah,
that was when I first came up with the idea to do this stuff. Because I had that and I was like, oh, I need to break this up. Because if I break it up into loads of bits, if someone says like, oh, what's this? I'll just say, oh, it was an accident. I didn't realize that was in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. You could just be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. But
that's literally from a tree from the doc's house, like right outside. So that will have been growing there back in the day. Even if the pine cone's only been there for a few months, the tree will have been there for decades.
And then the next thing that Julie has given us is a stone from George McFly's house.
Yes.
As well. So
I'll tell you a little fact.
Really, really cool.
I didn't realise till I was on holiday. I'll tell you about my pilgrimage as we're talking about your present. Basically, I knew that I was gonna go to Doc's house because the hotel that we had booked, sort of by coincidence, was not too far away from it. I then decided to go to the Burger King as well, like before I went on the holiday, because I just thought, why the hell not? You've got to have breakfast somewhere. May as well have it at the Burger King next to Doc's fictional garage. And then it ended up deciding to go to Marty's house. And I'd got the stuff from Burger King, but I never thought to pick anything up outside Marty's house, unfortunately, on that day. It was only once I was at Doc's that I thought, you know, I can just take this pine cone. But it wasn't until another day completely that Sarah said to me, like, oh, did you want to go to any other Back to the Future places? And I just wasn't expecting her to say that because I thought she was already sick of the idea of me banging on about this stuff for months. Like, we're going to go to Burger King, we're going to Marty's, we're going to Doc's.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that she was saying it. But she did, you know, and I said, oh, I'll look it up. And I didn't know because it's not the sort of thing that you would necessarily look up. But I looked up, I think I was looking up Lorraine's house is what I was looking for. And then I realized that Lorraine's house, George's house, and Biff's house are all on the same street.
Oh, really?
In the movie, they're not. You know, they don't say that they are. They don't say that they're not. But, like, Biff's house is only about three houses along from Lorraine's. And then George's house is only about four houses up from that. It's quite strange.
Yeah, that's it, the magic of movies.
So you can just park your car up outside Biff's, walk past the house where he chucks the football up on the balcony.
The trellis type bit, yeah.
And then just walk one more house along and there's Lorraine's house or the McBain's house. Is it Baines? No, it's just Baines, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Baines house. And then you walk four houses more and there's George's house, like completely unaltered for decades. And like you can stand under the tree. you know, that he's fallen out of outside Lorraine's house. It's just, it's surreal. Like, the whole thing is just so strange, walking in all these places.
How amazing. And that's the thing, were a lot of the houses still as they were?
Yeah, the Bane's house was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Biff's house was basically the same, which was awesome. The garage, mm-hmm. I think, in Back to the Future 2, I think that is fake. Well, mm-hmm. it's either fake or they've moved the garage further back, but the rest of it was very similar. And George's house was almost spot on, exactly how it is in the movie.
Excellent.
But it that wasn't until, so like, cool. Like I say, I was at Doc's that I got the pine cone, and then when I when I was outside Biff's house, I was like, I can just get something from outside everyone's house. So I actually picked up 3 leaves outside Biff's house, mm-hmm. and somehow I only made it home with 2. So I have to apologize. I didn't actually.
Oh, you put don't one need to apologize there. For that.
But I've not put them in resin. I've put them in I've laminated them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm actually
together, yeah.
I'll let you in on a secret. On January the 3rd, I'm gonna have the leaves tattooed on my left forearm.
That's a nice idea.
So yeah. I just thought it was very cool, you know, the fact that Cisco has gotten so into the franchise,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that's meant a lot to me, and I've always liked the idea of Back to the Future tattoos, but I don't want anything too over the top. I don't necessarily want a massive DeLorean on me or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've got other little things on my tattoos, like I don't know if you can see it, like a tiny arrow on the top of someone's head, which is supposed to be like the Back to the Future arrow, but right next to that guy, I'm just going to put a leaf either side, where to anyone else, it's just like, oh, it's just 2 leaves. But to me, it's like, no, actually means quite a lot, really. The fact that, you know.
Where it's from.
No, yeah, but I managed to do that.
Thank you so much for thinking of me, dude. This is so kind of you.
Oh, it's okay, and, mate. It was honestly a pleasure putting it all together.
And this is the last thing that's in the box is a glass stone from outside the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
That's right. Yeah.
Hall. So
that's actually a church hall in the middle of Hollywood. That one's not like in a mm-hmm. residential area. It's like smack dab in the middle of Hollywood where they filmed that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they open that church hall to let people go in. They did it only weeks after that I was there, and they had like what's his name, Jeffrey Wiseman, the guy
who
played George in the second film.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may have even had Marvin Berry there as well, possibly who I recently met at the convention. But
yeah.
I would have loved to have gone inside, but on the day that I was there, they weren't having it. It operates as a school, basically, day to day. It's a church hall, but they use it for secondary school kids, like every week, every day.
Oh, crazy.
So on the day I was there, like, I probably looked like, I would have looked like a lot more of a weirdo if I was on my own. Like, I had my wife and son with me, so it didn't look so bad. You know, I was trying to look through cracks in doors, cracks in windows.
Yeah.
I did have one security type person saying, like, can I help you? And I was just like, oh, I'm just here because I like Back to the Future.
But I'm sure they get it a lot.
They must do, yeah. But, like, outside the door, they just happened to be a bunch of those glass stone things there. I don't know why mm-hmm. they were there. But I was just like, yeah, that'll do nicely.
That's going in the collection.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So, like I said, cool. It was a pleasure putting it together.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for thinking of us, mate. That's really, really cool and really, really kind. And
no worries.
Yeah. No, when you was looking at, like, Marty's house or things like that, did any of the neighbours say anything to you, or
when we looked at Marty's house, it was very early in the morning. And mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. We were so respectful and so quiet mm-hmm. when we were outside the McFly 1980s house. We were just whispering mm-hmm. the whole time, like taking as many photos as possible. And then we got in the car, and I think I sent you a video of me, Sarah, and Cisco, like just trying to recreate the Marty, Jennifer, and Doc.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I just couldn't leave that place without recreating that video. And we just had such a good time just filming that. But we were just, amazing. Yeah, really respectful and quiet when we were mm-hmm. there. I was aware in advance that... that the residents of that house, who were the same residents from before Back to the Future was filmed, basically mm-hmm. whoever is in the house at the moment inherited it from their parents, who were the owners back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been offered millions and millions of dollars over the years to buy the house, but they refused to sell based on the fact that it was their parents' house and it's their family home. They don't care about Back to the Future. It's just, that's their home.
Well, good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them, but that's the thing, that's...
And they get very bothered about people walking up their drive and being loud and all that stuff, so I was just like, we can't go on the drive, you know, we've got to stay on the pavement and don't go any further than that, which is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And just be quiet and respectful, which we did the best we could. But I was still so chuffed to be there. And because it was the first place I went, it was just bizarre, just surreal. I can't explain. Like it's not like you can do that very often. Like go and be in your favorite movie for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Just because that's the thing. The amount of times that you've seen those locations.
Yeah. And then we went straight to Doc's house after that. And because that house is a public thing, it's like public property. It's like it was a historical house even back in the 80s, you know, something from 100 years before where it's got all sorts of history, which I've not bothered to look into. It's called the Gamble House, and you can pay mm-hmm. for tours in there. You are allowed to walk all over the garden. Well, they don't want you walking on the garden, but I mean on the path leading up yeah. to the door. So like every step that Marty takes in the movies we took them, you know, we're knocking on the door just like Marty did and taking all the photos we could, and the same with the garage as well. The garage has actually turned into a shop now.
Okay.
But we were there so early in the morning that the shop wasn't going to be open for another hour or so
mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe where my idea was, because I was going to get a T-shirt there and I was going to like buy you like the cheapest thing I could find, like a Back to the Future postcard mm-hmm. or a bookmark or something. But yeah. then I was like, there's all these pine cones here. Like I collect pine cones at home for my mum for like arts and crafts. And I was just like, I've got to get mm-hmm. one of them. How much better is that than a postcard? That is or so whatever? Cool.
Yeah. No, that is so, so ultra cool.
I'll carry on talking about my pilgrimage, the stuff that I've not put in your thing. I went to Twin Pines Mall.
Nice.
Which was absolutely awesome. Like, obviously, there's so many angles and spots in that car park where you're like, oh, this is where this happens. That's where this happens. It's where this happens. So we've taken multiple photos in there.
One thing I do want to say before you carry on is I was gutted that I didn't know about it beforehand, that I couldn't like inform you. But whilst you was actually...
Somebody told me while I was there, they have the annual Back to the Future Day
yeah.
where they screen the movie in the car park and have a collection of multiple DeLoreans. There's actually...
And they do it at the time that Marty went back to the future.
Yeah. There's a YouTuber which I was casually watching on and off. Like I like some of his stuff and some of his mm-hmm. stuff not so much. It's called German in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of self-explanatory, really.
Yeah.
But I actually met him while I was there. I went to Venice Beach, where he has a shop, And I went in and said, oh, you know, I watch you on YouTube, you know, I like your stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he said, like, oh, you're a big fan of Back to the Future. Like, we're having Back to the Future Day in, like, 2 days, and we're getting all the DeLoreans, we're watching the film, which I'd seen him do that on YouTube a year previously. Or maybe maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was 2015 where he was doing it on YouTube, but I'd watched over and over again. And that's how I knew that Twin Pines Mall is actually called Puente Hills Mall and all this stuff. But unfortunately, on that day, we were traveling to a completely different part of California. We were staying in a place called Palm Springs for 2 days, which is a good few hours away. So it just wasn't going to happen. Like, if we were staying in the normal part of California, closer to Hollywood and Pasadena and all this stuff, I might have gone there. I might have even considered, like, putting Cisco down to sleep as early as I could, so then I could wake him up at midnight and take him down there at 1 o'clock in the morning, because that's when it's happening. Because it's literally, they recreate the scene with the Libyans and all that stuff, which is so cool. But I didn't mind too much, you know. We had so much Back to the Future goodness going on that I didn't mind missing that bit. Absolutely.
And also, the thing is, we do have to take into consideration the missus.
Exactly.
Considering, like, that she's been so good to you with everything else.
She has, yeah. And I'm so grateful that it was her that was saying, like, have you got everything out of your system? Are you sure there's no more locations? And I was like, well, I could look up the school, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll tell you a couple of things. I hope I'm not boring anyone too much. But
no, not at all.
I'd had it in my head for months, actually, before I went on holiday. I'm not someone who likes to spend money on things like shoes. Like, when I'm home, I get the same shoes over and over and over again. As soon as they wear out, I go and buy another pair of 20-something pound shoes and then let them wear out.
I'm the same.
But I'd had it in my head for months, like, just this once, I'm going to spend a silly amount of money on shoes, like $100, which basically ended up becoming £100 by the time I went, because the money changed that much in the UK. It was crazy. I just said, I'm going to get a pair of Nikes, you know, like a pair of Air Jordans or just any Nikes, you know, that look similar to Marty's or similar to Doc's, and I'm going to get them from Twin Pines Mall, because how awesome will that be to say that I've done
that's
that?
That's pretty sweet, yeah.
So that was my goal. We went to Twin Pines Mall. I'll say we went to one of our favourite fast food restaurants over there. It's called Raising Cane's. It's like a bit like a nicer version of KFC.
Okay.
And we just happened to go there for lunch, and I was so pleasantly surprised to see that they had Back to the Future stuff everywhere in there. Like, the whole restaurant just had, like so much memorabilia, like DeLorean, like, parts on the wall and flux capacitors and the Twin Pine Mall's logo and all sorts. So I was so pleased we went in there. And in the mall itself, they have, I presume it's the original sign of Twin Pines Mall, but I'm not totally sure. It looks like it.
Yeah, but the one with the clock.
Sorry? Yes, the one with the clock, yeah. The digital clock. So, yeah, took as many photos with that as possible. But when I went into the shoe store in there, the one and only shoe store that has, like, trainers and stuff, they just didn't have what I was looking for. They only they were, what do they call themselves? Like an outlet store. So they've just got what they've got, which was not a lot. And I was like, oh, that totally sucks. And Sarah was like, oh, you'll find some somewhere. And I was like, oh, it's not the same, though. It's not the same. but I'll come back to it now in a second. Like, I was really upset about that. But something even better happened with the shoes. Because a few days later, I'm sure some people are probably aware of this, Hill Valley... in the Back to the Future movies, it's all filmed in Universal Studios Hollywood, they have like a town square there, which they still use to this day, where whatever the program is or the movie is, they just change the look of the buildings ever so slightly, which is what they did with Hill Valley three times. You've got 1955, 85, and 2015. It's all the exact same town square. Like, they're not building them in different places. They just change the look ever so slightly. Actually, two 1985s. Four different versions in the film. But yeah, we were lucky enough to be able to go on the Universal Studio tour. And sometimes, because of filming, like, you don't always get to see the same parts every time. And I think we went on the tour three times while we were there. And it was only the first time we went that we actually went on that town square bit. So we only saw the technical Hill Valley part once. So I was so grateful that we did and got as many photos with that as we possibly could.
That is amazing. And that's the thing. If you hadn't have had that opportunity, like if you had the others and just missed out because of filming days,
I would have been quite upset, I think, if I had missed out on that. So just to get it the once, I was so grateful because I knew that was a thing. But sometimes there's parts you see, sometimes there isn't. It just depends what they're filming that day, because it's you know, they're still live set studios. But but on that,
and that's the thing, as much as they change it about for different shows, it's so identifiable as the town square.
Yeah, we were so chuffed, me and Cisco, just over the moon. Like, really wanted to get out of that tour bus and just, like, go and sit on the steps and all that sort of stuff. Just run around and go, oh, this is where Marty did this, this is where Marty did that. But it was just nice to just be there. But that same first day, they had a they have a bit like, what do you call it? Like Universal City Walk or something. So it's a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of shops. And one of the shops just happens to be like a sports shop, trainer's shop. And they had a whole bunch of Nike shoes, or Nikes as they would call them over there.
Yeah.
And I saw the pair, well, one of the pairs that I was like willing to buy. And I was like, oh, God, that is fate. So I got myself a pair of Air Jordans, like white and red and black. And they were, to me, they were a fortune, like $110 or something.
Oh, yeah, compared to what we normally pay for trainers.
Oh, God, I would never normally pay that.
Yeah.
To the people in that shop, like, I was probably, not probably, I was buying the cheap pair.
Yeah.
You know, but
oh, absolutely.
I didn't care. I was just like, oh, this is way too much for me, but I'm so happy to be buying this. And now I can say that rather than buying my trainers from Twin Pines Mall, I actually got them from Hill Valley is what I'm saying now.
Excellent. So
I was well chuffed with that.
That is amazing. Oh, I am very, very jealous at how much... And that's the thing, it's it would have been a real hard push to then extend that to, let's go to Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, that's quite a ways away.
Yeah, exactly. That's.
But I wouldn't be surprised if I'm asking for that on a future holiday. We do intend to do Vegas one day, which it's a lot closer to all the Vegas stuff. That so I would like to do that one day.
Yeah. Oh no, that would be amazing. And yeah. I'm very. Did you do the like the Hollywood Walk, like the stars?
We did, like
outside the Groman's Theatre.
Yes, we did. We did do some of it, but I would say that Hollywood is a lot dirtier and grottier than most people think.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's a bit like London, really. I guess you could say, like, you know. People from all over the world want to go to London, but when you see a lot of it up close, you're like, oh, this is not quite what I thought it was. Well, I was used to it living there for years, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sarah saw Shatner's star, but didn't point it out to me for some reason. We both saw Spielberg's star.
Nice.
And then we saw like the Harry Potter kids handprints and C-3PO and R2-D2's prints outside the Chinese theatre. But yeah, we just we kind of did the bare minimum for that, I would say. But definitely enjoyed it.
Amazing, amazing, and that's it's one of the things of going there. There's so many things in Hollywood that I would like to do. Like if I was in town, where it's and also a lot of them are hard when you've got a family with you as well.
It was, yeah. We would have loved to have done a lot more, but we were only there for just over a week. You know, just between 7 to 8 days, and we jam packed as much into that holiday as we could. We really did.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like I would love to do a Hollywood Babylon over there and things like that.
We were there on the day the day that we were in Hollywood itself. They were having the premiere of the second Black Panther film, Wakanda Forever, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So we just missed. I saw it on like online that day. Like we missed New Day by a couple of hours. Like I know they were on the red carpet.
Yeah.
From WWE. So in fact, it actually meant that it was a lot more crazier than it had to be that day in Hollywood because there were so many things blocked off and stuff. Oh, we went to the Hollywood Museum that day. Which was partly why I'd gone into Hollywood, because they've got the DeLorean, which they say is from Back to the Future Part 3. They say that it's the one that they're sitting on top of with the horses.
Oh, okay.
And there was a whole bunch of other stuff in there, like Lorraine's dress is in there. Mm-hmm. I took a picture of a whole bunch of stuff, like a telescope. I think Clara's telescope is in there.
Yeah. Sweet.
Because we had such little time, I was purposely taking pictures of things, knowing that, like, I'll look at them later sort of thing. But there was a lot there.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah.
Didn't have the time to take it in at the time, but you can re-examine
Of did, but you're just constantly aware of the time. But, like, you've still got to do this, you've still got to do that. They had, like... I knew that those things were supposed to be genuine, but there was a lot of stuff in that museum. I didn't know if it was supposed to be screen used or it's just a recreation. So they had Marty's truck in there is whatever that is. What is it?
Toyota,
that's it. They had the Ecto-1, which I have no idea if that was the real thing. One thing I would have liked to have gone to on that holiday, but I didn't. I wasn't even aware until a few weeks before I went there, which I don't know if you know this, but the interior of the Ghostbusters HQ
firehouse
is in Hollywood. The exterior is in New York, but the interior is in LA.
No, because it's the exterior is the firehouse in New York, but then it's another firehouse that's in Los Angeles that they actually used for the interior,
But it was only a few weeks before we went that they actually started gutting it out because they're going to turn it into some art museum or something now. So it was only a few weeks before we went that it was still looking kind of like it did before, but I guess that's not going to be the case now as we speak.
You would assume that that's not going to be exactly the same.
But as you said, like, you know, with Sarah with me, I only had so much time and room for geeky indulgences. So
that's the thing. You still got to have a family holiday.
Yeah, exactly. It was only 8 days. Barely 8 days.
That is an amazing trip, though.
It was
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, had such a good time. Don't know if you could see on my phone there. That's my new screensaver. I used to have Cisco and my dog Pongo, but that's where is it?
That's
me and Cisco now in Twin Pines Mall car park.
Ultra cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that really, really is. No, really happy for you to have had that experience.
I'm sorry if I've bored everyone at home with that had to get it out.
No, not at all. That's it. No, mate, you've been very patient. You've been holding on to those stories for months.
Yeah, I really have. One thing I'm going to come to, maybe I'll save to the end. I think I'll save it to the end. I'd thought about doing a trek-off, but I think maybe we could do this instead of a trek-off. I discovered when I was in Forbidden Planet the other day, someone outside of YouTube finally did something that I've been hoping for years. Be nice to have had it in the form of a TV program, but someone has made a book called a kid's book, or at least it appears to be a kid's book, called Trek the Halls, an official Star Trek Christmas book.
That it is. Jude sent me a link to it the other day, and it looks so cool.
Yeah. So I actually was supposed to receive it today, but I got it yesterday. And I was about to look at it last night, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to wait until I'm podding, and I'll talk about it then. So I'll save that till last.
And what we'll do as well, mate, is you should take a couple of pictures that we can put up on the website with the post.
I'll do that, yeah. Yeah, no problem. But the weird thing is, like, I looked for it online. It was quite hard to find online.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered it in this shop first, but yeah, I think you can get it anywhere between about £11 to £13, and I paid full £13 for it, but I'm really happy to have it. But yeah, I'll go into detail about that more in a little bit. I'll save that to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Forbidden Planet have got a Star Trek Christmas jumper, but it's not like a proper Christmas jumper, what we were talking about earlier on. It's one of the ones that I'm not a big fan of, where it's just all black with just a print on the front.
Yeah.
But if you're happy with that, you know, go for it. Like, it's probably about 25 quid. But I did find it quite amusing. I think that probably said Merry Trekmas on it. And I just like the fact that the tree topper was Deep Space Nine. That just stuck in my head.
Nice.
I think you could probably find it online if you searched Forbidden Planet and Star Trek Christmas or whatever, but you can imagine it. It's
oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring up two other DS9 things before we get to the Christmas book. Mm-hmm. One was just that I had read somewhere that there is a brand new graphic novel series coming out next year.
Okay.
Called either Dog of War or Dogs of War or something. Like, I thought it was a joke at first, but then I was like, no, I don't think this is a joke. It's like, it is supposed to be basically the closest thing you'll get to like a season 8.
Okay. Of TNG.
No, DS9. Yeah.
Of DS9.
In which, for some reason, Quark is in possession of a corgi, which is why, when I read it at first, I was like, is this a joke? But then I read on, I was like, no, I think it's real. So I don't know when that's coming out, but I did like the look of it and the sound of it.
I am looking forward to that. Funnily enough, my brain straight away went to back probably about 15 to 20 years ago or so. There was a mini series of comics for the Thundercats called Dogs of War.
Oh, right.
The dog, yeah, where they were literally fighting dog people.
Yeah, it makes sense in their world, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, that's really cool. One thing that we've all wanted.
We'll come back to that, definitely. Like, in future episodes.
One thing that we've all wanted is to know more about what would have happened with Deep Space Nine. So anything that explores that period of time. Speaking of that, I haven't got a definitive piece of information for you. However, there are a lot of rumors going around that Deep Space Nine will feature in some way in season 3 of Picard.
Okay, I want to be positive about that, but it scares me when you say that.
People are suspecting that at very least Kira is going to come back.
Okay, All right, that's fine. Like, I'll try and be positive about it.
Yeah,
I'll just go with the flow. I'm gonna give it a chance.
As I said to you, I don't have any definitive proof of anything, but that is just what the rumblings are. So whether that ends up being the case or not, I don't know.
Probably.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So watch this space, because all of us do want to know that. But also there is rumblings as well that though this is the last season of Picard, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be the last time that we see seasons with other TNG characters.
Yes, an interesting thought.
So whether we do end up getting further series,
how good would a Riker series be if it was done well?
If it was done like Strange New Worlds, it would have been brilliant.
Strange New Worlds meets Riker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh no, it would be amazing.
It could be. Done right, done well.
Because that's the thing, it's I don't know. I'm hesitant with Picard season 3 coming up, but I'm wanting it to be good. I'm willing it to be good.
Yeah, I really hope so for everybody out there.
I don't think we've got long to wait. I think it's January it's coming back. Yeah, I don't
is
think
it? Well, yeah, it's not long at all, is it?
No. It's... Oh, okay, I got it wrong. It's going to be starting on February 16th. So still, a month and a half.
That's okay.
Not long to wait now.
It's not. But I've got something I want to bring up with you, which I don't know if you've seen. Not TV, mm-hmm. but toy.
Okay.
I don't know if you call it a toy or not. Have you heard of something called XO6?
No, it doesn't ring any... like EXO6?
EXO-6. Maybe put EXO-6 Star Trek.
Okay.
Okay, so what they are... I
found their website.
You have seen other things like this. There's like Back to the Future ones of this out there where I can't remember what the other company's called.
Like Hot Toys.
Hot Toys, that's it, yeah. So they're really mm-hmm. well done toys, but they are a small fortune for them.
Wow.
And that's what XO6 is for Star Trek. I recommend everybody look it up if you've not heard of it already. I've seen Quark. I've seen Spock, I've seen Sisko, I've seen Tuvok, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're really, really good.
These figures are amazing.
Like,
they're absolutely amazing.
The details in the faces are brilliant, but then they also have like their own clothes as well. Like the clothes are not part of the thing. They're not ceramic or whatever it is. They are actual little clothes, and I know it sounds like I'm talking about Barbie right now, but they're so detailed, so well done.
Looking at the, because at the moment I'm looking at the Voyager page.
Yeah, I'll click on that as well. So I've seen Tuvok.
And they've got now Tuvok, Chakotay, wow. 7 of 9.
Do you know what? They've got more today than they did when I was looking the other day.
And Janeway. And honestly, the likenesses brilliant. Are absolutely brilliant.
They really are, aren't they? Yeah, the average of like about $200, which you may as well say 200 quid now, before postage. Yeah. But they appear to be just selling out straight away. And
yeah, and a lot of them that aren't out yet, they're taking like deposits for pre-orders and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like the Doctor... is at a bargain of $175. But they really, really are stunning.
They are. They are truly worthy of that word.
Yeah, yeah, so if anybody does have that amount of disposable income, then good on them, because they're going to have some amazing figures.
I would just say, just you know, to all the listeners of the show, like, just have fun just looking these up. Because yeah. Like, I know that I can't afford these. I can't justify these either. Even if I did buy one, like, my wife would just be like, why are you paying 250 quid for a bloody figure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely hard to justify. Oh, mate. Have you clicked on the Enterprise page?
I haven't. I only just noticed it was there.
They've only got two figures.
Oh, Shran.
Yeah, Shran looks amazing. They've got Archer and Shran for Enterprise.
Oh, this could be in my future one day.
Yeah, Shran does look absolutely phenomenal.
Like 100 quid on some, you know, trade or a convention or something. They are good.
Yeah. The honestly, the detail in, like, the costumes on them, it's each, like, even the boots are separate. They're, like, their own little leather boots.
Yeah, all of it.
And all of it is so finely detailed.
Like, these suits on these guys are better than a lot of the suits you'd buy yourself.
Yeah.
To wear into conventions and what. Oh, God, Archer looks great.
Archer does look amazing. So this is an absolutely amazing company.
Yeah, they've got more on there today than they had a couple of days ago. I was only seeing Spock and DS9.
Yeah, for DS9,
they saw Data as well.
Sisko and Quark.
Yeah, Quark looks great. Like we were saying recently, like, whenever it's an alien, it's harder to get wrong. But Quark just looks perfect.
Yeah. It is absolutely amazing. They've got two versions of Sisko. One is an Essentials version. Yeah, it says one is an Essentials version and one is a Standard version. So I don't know what the difference is.
Oh, yes,
or whether there's
right.
Just more props or something with.
Yeah, they didn't look too. Yeah, I did look at both the other day. They didn't look too different.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a question of what props is with them, because. Yeah, no, it is. Looking at it, it's just a different amount of props. I'm glad he comes with his baseball.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, he comes with his baseball.
I love the Quark one with that colourful jacket thing he wears. One of his more memorable ones.
Surprisingly, from TNG, the only ones in TNG at the moment is Q in his judge's robe and Locutus.
I saw on the homepage there was a Data, like, I think maybe from First Contact.
There is from First Contact, yeah. Yeah, in First Contact, it's Data and the captain's chair from the E.
Yeah, I can't deny it.
And the original series, the only two are the Mirror Spock and Mirror Sulu. So, but if you said that they've added even more since, like, recently,
yeah,
then I'm assuming they're going to keep churning them out. Because these are absolutely stunning.
They are brilliant, aren't they?
And even though we don't give a fuck about Discovery, the figures do look really good.
Yeah, you can go on Star Trek The Motion Picture as well to see normal Spock and Admiral Kirk as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and...
Oh, they got a picture of Bones, bearded Bones. In, like, the poster.
So that's obviously
as if he
coming.
Exists, but then it's not in the... You can't click on him.
I would say that he is on his way.
I would presume so. Yeah, very well. Yeah. Well done, whoever you are, XO6. Very cool. Oh, actually, yes. No. Here you go. Production timeline. Somehow it just went onto it. Where's that gone now? Just came up and then disappeared. I think it's on like the homepage. Production timeline. I'll take a picture.
And I'll, okay.
And I'll WhatsApp it to you. But yeah, I guess it's telling you when they're actually coming out.
Yeah. And you can, on there's obviously a button that you can press to be notified whenever they put up any more information. Mm. Okay. So, yeah. So, this is when all of the different figures are making their way and going to be available. So, yeah, if you do have that level of disposable income, or if XO6 wants to send out any sort of trial versions to any Star Trek podcasts, would be open to that.
Send them an email, Wayne. Tell them you need two of everything as well. Give it a try.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
We'll do a YouTube video.
Yeah, that's it. We'll finally do another YouTube video.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, they're absolutely beautiful.
Did you want to talk about this? Did you want me to read some of
it? Yeah, have a quick look through your book.
So, yeah, Trek the Halls, the Christmas book, what's presumably just come out this year, because I've never seen it before.
I have never seen it before. The art looks really fun.
It does.
Very. Yeah. It's very much like in the style of a like children's.
Yeah. Proper children's hopefully book. It's something we can read to our kids.
Reminds me of the similar sort of art style that they used in the Backs of the Future children's book.
I've only seen the pictures on eBay and Amazon and stuff. Let me read you a little blurb from the front where we got a picture of a really nice picture of, forget their names, Jake and Nog at the bottom there. It says, set phasers to jolly. The United Federation of Planets may span thousands of light years, but its most celebrated crews always go home for the holidays, do they? Even if it's just on the holodeck. Put on your merriest ugly sweater and join your favourite characters in this delightfully bright and irreverent twist on Deck the Halls, filled with references to the original series, blah, 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 and more. This non-denominational, you know what I'm trying to say, holiday storybook is the perfect way for longtime Star Trek fans to celebrate the season with the whole family. Resistance, do you know what? I don't like the word holiday. I'm going to say Christmas. Resistance to the Christmas spirit is futile.
No.
Yeah, I do like that. Just that bit alone. You've got a little bit at the back about the two authors, and they have written books such as The Star Trek Book of Friendship, Fun with Kirk and Spock, The Wit and Wisdom of Star Trek.
Okay, these have passed us by.
And The Red Shirt's Little Book of Doom. Yeah, they totally have.
They've obviously kept CBS happy to be able to keep the license for that many books.
Yeah. But yeah, well illustrated just on the outside. I've not opened it at all. I opened it in the shop the other day, and I was so impressed, but I was in a rush at the time, and because the shop is like underground, I was trying to go on Amazon and eBay to see how much is it on there, and I couldn't find it out. But as soon as I got home, I was just like, I need to get that book as soon as possible, and I did.
On Amazon, it's about £13.
Yes, that's exactly what it cost me, £13. I was happy to pay that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, in America, it's got it as $17.99, so I'm good with that.
Oh, Christ, you would have paid loads more, yeah. So
I'm not going to go reading it before, but I'll just give some highlights. I'll just show you this page. So it's like a parent gone and a child gone. How cool. Saying, 'twas the night before stardate 238712, when deep in the beta quadrant, little Gorn intercepted a subspace transmission. Little Gorn was very excited to discover that it was a very special time for cheer and parties and gifts on Earth. Big Gorn let Little Gorn know that as members of the Gorn species, they would never have goodwill towards humans or their allies. Yeah. I like that. Automatically, I like that.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing some of the pictures that you end up taking.
You see that picture of the book that the big Gorn is holding? What he's reading.
I can't make it out. It looks like a picture of a Gorn with Kirk.
It is. And then, like, it's like got a cross above Kirk's head. Like, we don't like him. He's not one of us.
Excellent.
Oh, God, this is just awesome. Just look at this TOS cartoon goodness here. Let me turn the camera down for you a bit.
That is.
So I can see what I'm showing you.
That really is some beautiful artwork.
It really is. Yeah, even without the, you know, I don't want to go spoiling everything for everyone. Oh, look at that.
Oh, some Voyage Home.
From
goodness.
The Voyage Home, yeah. That's brilliant.
Excellent.
This is worth it just for the art. I'm going to take this outer sleeve because it's just getting in the way. Saying that, it's got another cover, completely different cover, which is just as cool.
That's a nice cover as well.
Yeah, it goes with the back as well.
Yeah.
Done a very good job.
Very high quality.
In fact, that whole two-page spread is all the Voyage Home.
Yeah.
That recreated a lot of the scenes there.
Computer?
Yeah. Oh, shit, nearly lost my computer then. Sorry. What else we got? Some TNG goodness. Hang on.
Oh, that is... Okay, we're going to put a couple of pictures.
I will. I'll take the best pictures I can, yeah. I'm already recommending this book, and I've barely read anything. Oh, look at this.
But yeah, I think...
Picard pimping his Make It Snow Christmas jumper. That's better than the one I've seen in real life.
Excellent. Oh yeah, no.
All the TNG cast there.
We won't spoil it.
Oh, this
everyone,
was one of the pages that I opened it up on in the shop. This was kind of, I think these two pages are the two pages that sold it to me. Where I was like, I'm getting that when I get home. Got Morn there with a bunch of gifts. All the Deep Space Nine cast in Quarks.
Odo,
looks like Quark giving some gift cards to Odo.
And
Captain Sisko interacting with the angry Vulcan.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Over baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that is good. Oh, even more goodness. I might just leave it here, you know, and just because maybe I'm spoiling it too much. But we got the Holosuite bar with the Deep Space Nine cast there. That's really
with Vic
good.
Fontaine. Yeah. No, I think we'll put a couple of pictures up, but I think that is a high recommendation that if people enjoy like some of like the child parody sort of books, like Trek the Halls is well worth the check out. And I think I want to get it for myself.
I really think you should. Oh, they had to spoil it with a bit of disco at the end, but
Well, the story can finish just before then.
Here you go. One last one for Wayne here. One last page.
I'm just waiting for it to focus. It looks like it's going to be Riser.
It's Enterprise.
Oh, no, it's a decontamination bay. I was waiting for it. Like, my screen just went a bit fuzzy for a second. But yeah, with Pole standing outside with Porthos with everyone in the decontamination
bay. Yeah, all greased up on Christmas Day.
How cool. That is very, very cool.
Oh, I'm so glad I got that. Yeah. I look forward to reading that properly. But yeah, I would right now. I did consider it, but I just don't want to spoil it for anyone who's learning about it for the first time and thinking, like, I'm going to get that.
Yeah. No, highly recommend. I'll try and remember to put a link into the podcast description as well.
Mm.
But if you just go on Amazon and search for Trek the Halls, it comes up straight away. The cover has Picard, Spock, and Janeway on the front.
Awesome cover, yeah, all in their Christmas jumpers. Picard playing on his flute. Spock's Christmas jumper with a whale in the middle of it, with a Christmas present on his nose.
Yeah.
Janeway with a candy cane and a coffee. Just perfect, really. They really thought about this.
Written by Rob Perlman and illustrated by Luke Flowers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, really highly recommended by the looks of Jude's book there.
Yeah.
So, well.
Oh, I've really enjoyed that Christmas episode.
Yeah. Sharing some
Trekmas love.
And also getting to hear all about your Back to the Future.
Yeah, I hope I didn't bore adventures. Everyone, but like, I was happy to share that and share that present with you as well.
No, I really, really appreciate it. That's really touching, mate. And
that was the present that I said to you, like, when Leanne sees what you got, she'll just be like, you sad bastards. He's giving you fucking leaves and stones and... What?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You want them? They're in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, honestly,
you a Burger King hat? What?
It's really, really touching. And I love it. Thank you for thinking of me.
No worries, mate. I'm happy to.
Yes. So, well, I hope to hear about all of our listeners' good Christmas times that they've had. Like, tell us any geeky presents that you've received over the holiday period.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just hope that everybody has a happy Christmas and hopefully 2023 will get a bit easier for everyone. We say that every year.
Yeah,
I say that every year.
I kind of think it's on their way. Like, and one thing we're always saying but every now and then when we actually record on Trekmate, you just got to focus on the positives in life. You can't let the bad stuff get you down. It's just not worth it. There's too much good stuff in this life to let the bad stuff drag you down.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Good advice. So, so we'll leave you with some more Trek music. And I just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we will see you in the new year.
Yeah. Merry Trekmas, everybody.
Merry Trekmas. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins. And that's Trekmate.
shot. You better not cry.
You better not pout.
I am telling you why.
Sucker, when the walls fell. Sucker, when the walls fell. Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Shaka, when the walls fell.
Shaka, when the walls fell.
Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
Sleeping.
He knows when you are
awake.
He knows if you have been bad or good.
So Lunga the sky gray.
Temba is a hump's wife.
Ita.
Santa, when the claws fell.
Santa, when the claws fell.
Santa Claus is coming.
Darmok at Tanagra.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Humbug, I tell you. Humbug.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and yes, I am bald. In the future, there is no cure for baldness, and I am proof of that. But in the future, it's also very stylish to be bald, because everyone knows who's in charge. Me, the captain, Jean-Luc Picard. Ha ha! Make it so. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.